Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Thanks so much for stopping by. On today's episode, we have a hot topic. It's going to be talking about not having explosions in your church with Jeremy Ranz. It's going to be really helpful. We were going to talk through a vital instrumental topic that you all can help out with a lot in your ministries.
Yeah, how do you leave the church without blowing it up? Why is this a trend? Is this really a thing we should be doing? This is going to be a powerful concept, but before we get into it, we got to talk to you about Idea Night 2023. That's exciting.
It's coming up here in September. Mm-hmm. Some of you in the past maybe have attended an Idea Summit, which is our huge conference every other year. Some of you might have even enjoyed some Idea Days where we do them regionally, whether it's in Florida or New England or out here in Vegas. Yeah. But occasionally folks aren't able to get to those, or maybe they just want something a little bit more intimate, a more intimate setting with some ministry leaders in their local area. That's what Idea Night is for. We want you to be a part of this if possible.
Yeah, we've had Idea Nights where there are five local pastors who gather together and share the best ideas and practices for their local community. We've had Idea Nights that have 45 to 50 local pastors gather together. But the beautiful thing about an Idea Night is that Idea Nights are purely local. You're talking in your local ministry context with local ministry leaders about local issues to advance the kingdom of God. The best ideas, both theological, philosophical, and methodological, where you have an opportunity of not only getting the best ideas, sharing the best ideas, but building close relationships. And at this point, registration for Idea Night is not open. That's right. It's not like you can pick a location, because at this point in March, we want you, that's right, you, the one who's listening to this right now, considering, should I host my own Idea Night? Yes, we would love for you to host your Idea Night. You can actually apply to be a host at engagement, if you email engagement@ideanetwork.church. That's engagement@ideanetwork.church. Be one of the 50 locations where we will be hosting Idea Nights around the country September 19th, 2023.
All right, we're joined today by Jeremy Ranz, and we're going to be talking about the topic of leaving a church without blowing it up. I'm assuming this is going to be talking about not only church ministry leaders, but also maybe even church members.
Yeah, time and again, we've watched as man gives his life, right? Decades of his life to build a church through sacrifice, service, and patient shepherding. Brick by brick, year by year, God uses them to build a church, only to, I don't know, blow it up as they walk out the door. Like a terrorist strapped with dynamite, like a boy kicking down his own sandcastle, like Samson in the Philistine temple. They end up solidifying their own legacy as they destroy their life's work. Jeremy, why is it so difficult to leave a church without blowing it up?
I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and I hope to be able to discuss some of those today on this podcast. But I think the main reason that I've come up with is just unbalanced ownership of a church. Mm. The pastor is there for a period of time, and he can forget it's the Lord's church, and it's not his. He doesn't own it. And so he's not selling a family business, and he's not giving away a family business. He's a shepherd for a period of time that God allows. And then it's his responsibility to step aside and let someone else shepherd that church that God calls.
Love it. Today, we're joined by one of the great leaders of the Idea Network, Jeremy Ranz. Hey, Jeremy, introduce yourself to the audience. Let them know a little bit about yourself for those who are unfamiliar with you, though very few probably are at this point.
Yes, my name again is Jeremy Ranz, and I have grown up in the ministry, 46 years old. I'll be 47 this year, and all I know is ministry. Ministry as a pastor's kid, ministry as an adult, and God's given me that privilege to know ministry that way. I have been in the ministry now full time for 24 years, and I've been pastoring, senior pastor, for the last little over 10 years. And I've been here at Mount Clover Road Baptist Church as a senior pastor, and I'm coming up on my 8th year here. I'm married and have 5 great kids. Two of them are adults now, and they're serving the Lord here in our local church. And I am so thankful that the Lord has allowed for that to happen.
That's awesome, man. I love it. I love that you continue to serve with the network and excited about the future of it. But when it comes to the network itself, we are a network of ministry leaders, but most of us are just focused in on our own local context, which in many cases, that means our own local churches. Many of us have high places of influence in our local churches. Those who are listening, many of them senior pastors, associate pastors, staff, deacons, ministry leaders of all kinds. And it's not just a senior pastor, as was indicated by Drew a moment ago. It could be any person of great influence within a local church. When they walk away, there seems to be this temptation to light a match and destroy what you've been working toward. Why do you think pastors tend to blow up a church while exiting a long-term ministry?
I'm not convinced yet that pastors are doing it on purpose. I don't think they see themselves as lighting a match and blowing up a church. I think many of them, if we're talking about a pastor, senior pastor, many of them come to a place where they think they're helping. They think they're helping by continuing to pastor the people. They think they're helping by giving unsolicited advice, and sometimes advice that is being asked. They think that their influence is so important that that church cannot survive without it.
Is this something that you've seen firsthand? Is this something that you've... How do you know this is an issue? I'll tell you how I know. I mean, you and I, we serve within this network, and because we have visible roles, we'll get phone calls quite a bit. We do a lot of counseling, right? A lot of shepherding of shepherds, which is a great thing. And one of the things that I love about the Idea Network, if you're not aware, is there is something called the Idea Network Cares. If you go to our website, you can actually scroll through pastors and ministry leaders who care and shepherds who want to shepherd other shepherds and mentors who want to mentor pastors. And you can contact individuals and call them and email them and seek advice. Well, Jeremy and I have been doing this for years, and one of the things that we have noticed is this is a trend. This is something that unfortunately we see in the underbelly of ministerial work.
I think for, you know, for a pastor for years, they've been guarding and protecting everything that's said about the church or the advice they give and trying to really lean in and shield and protect the church of the flock of God, right? And then maybe when they know they're out the door, some of those filters come off, and that's where you're saying some of the damage actually happens. So is it just the fact that the perspective changes, like, hey, I'm not the protector anymore, I don't care, or is it just carelessness to what you said earlier?
I would say carelessness. I want to be positive, so I always want to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. I really, truly believe very few pastors that blow up a church on their way out are doing it because they want the church to blow up. I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's carelessness, just like you had just said. I believe that they don't understand, because much of the advice they give to other people going through a transition, they fail to even do for themselves when it's them going through this transition. And so I don't think that it's even intentional. And I think that's why this conversation might be so important, because if we will expose some things, I think everyone can take a good, honest look and say, I want to protect myself from blowing up the church. So I need to be sure that I'm seeing things through truth and not just my feelings.
And I do realize this is probably one of those like limitless lists, but let's at least go for maybe 3 to 5 of these. Like top ways you would say a person could blow up a church on their way out. Like we've already talked about unsolicited advice, right? What are some other way, like just very rubber meets the road type of ideas where you have seen in the past that pastors have inadvertently blown up the church on their way out the back door?
Yeah. Another way would be sharing information with people that don't need to know. If you're frustrated, if you're leaving and there is frustration, maybe you've had frustration with the deacon board. Maybe you've had frustration with your staff or specific members within the church. When you leave, once you've decided to leave, that is not the time to share with other people the frustration that you've had. And I've dealt with people. I've dealt with pastors that have done it. I've dealt with people coming in behind that pastor that now has to deal with the hurt that has been caused. And so I would say just also giving advice, even when asked, even if it is asked. I think a pastor has to be disciplined enough to say, you know, I'm not in the spiritual leadership position of that church anymore. And go to those that are still there in that church and ask them. When I pastored in Georgia, and I remember when they were looking for a new pastor, I had several people call me and say, what do you think about this guy? And my answer was, I don't. It's not my place. I don't think. And someone might say, well, you need to protect those people from, that's not my position any longer to protect them. They have a pulpit committee. They have a good group of men that are leading that church. They know more about that process than I know because I was not involved in that process. And my advice could hurt what God is trying to do in that church because I don't have all the information. And so any advice that I give, even passive aggressive, even, well, you know, I would do my homework. That's bad advice. That just gives a sense of there might be a problem. You need to look into this.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You know, I think of, you talk about this idea of giving up the pastoral mantle. And I think one of the problems that you've mentioned, or the way you set up the question, I would answer and say, retaining the role of pastor or even the title of pastor. One of the things I've watched with a buddy of mine named Robbie Green, a friend of ours at Levon Drive, is that his former pastor, Dr. Gary Coleman, an absolute legend of a pastor, I've watched him over and over in that church refer to Robbie as my pastor. My pastor. What does my pastor think? I'm sure. How long did Dr. Coleman pastor that church? I don't know. I think it was like 4 decades. And you know those long-term members, I'm sure, came to him multiple times, say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I can just see him look at them with a smile and say, I don't know. Let me check with my pastor on that. That's his way of no longer retaining the position and the title of pastor by referring to the current pastor as the pastor. And what's beautiful there is he didn't have to leave the church. He didn't walk away. He didn't have to move to Tennessee. He's there, but he doesn't see himself as the pastor or even one of the pastors. He sees himself as a church member, not a pastor in that local congregation. And I think that's why it works so well between Dr. Coleman and Gary Coleman and Robbie Green.
So we talked about being unfiltered, trying to assume the pastoral role without still having that position. We talked about, you know, trying to guard what we think, you know, some of the church members or ministry leaders against. And you mentioned something at the very beginning of the podcast. Do you think, where does this stem from? It's just an attitude of egotism and narcissism. So as ministry leaders, how do we continually stay on guard against that so we don't have those tendencies, even in the middle of a ministry or on our way out?
Yeah, I think it's easy to have an attitude of no one can do it as well as I did. And what we have to understand in a ministry, in a church, that it goes through seasons, it goes through chapters that God wants to go through. And God puts the leadership in the church at the time and at the period what God wants accomplished with the church. He can put a pastor in a place that is a fantastic preacher. Because I've heard this guy's a great preacher, but he's not a great pastor. He's a great pastor, but not a great preacher. He's a great administrator, but he's not a great pastor. He's a great pastor, not a good administrator. God doesn't make mistakes. And as a church is maturing and growing, he puts that pastor with the gifts that that church needs through that man that God puts as the pastor. And as that church is growing and developing, then it may need a different style of leader. Well, the style of leader that is leaving and departing, whether due to God moving them on or retirement, it's difficult for him to see someone different and think that that person can make good decisions as well as he did. But he can't forget that it's God's church, and we have to let God do with it what God wants. And I would say, like with Southern Hills, it's got to be a different church now than it was 20 years ago, right? When you were starting it, and than when it is now in a huge building program. And it takes a different pastor. And if you're not willing to change and grow, God may have to bring a different pastor in to get the church to the place that God wants it to go to. And we can very easily think they're not going to do as well. They're going to make different decisions. He can't love the people like I love the people. He doesn't know the people like I know the people. And that could be a very dangerous attitude as well.
Yeah, think about even just in the transition from David to Solomon, right? David was a warrior in a time of war. Solomon was not a warrior in a time of peace. And I think about it would have been wrong, of the children of Israel to demand a warrior in that time, you know, of Solomon's building and trying to really make the nation of Israel great. So I think that's a really good point.
It's a great lesson for us. I mean, all three of us in reality. I can so easily sit here at halftime in my ministry, right? My goal, and God can change it, is to be here for 40 years. I'm coming up on 20, and I hopefully have another 20. And it's so easy to sit here in judgment. It's so easy to sit here and say, look at these narcissistic, egotistical pastors who are hurting churches. And what in the world am I going to be when Drew and Jeremy, my friends, are going to have to approach me in 20 years and say, quit being an idiot. What are you doing? There is a new, better person. Not better, different. No, better. You sit down, go away, go do something else. And hopefully at that point, I'll realize I cannot destroy what God has done. But I genuinely sense it when you say the idea that, no, God has a different, better person at this point. And that you need to sit back and somebody can do it better than you at this point. Man, that is a hard thing to admit. Theoretically, yes. But in reality, come on. Seriously, Jeremy, better than me? I mean, maybe I need to keep training them.
What he said, do your research.
Yeah, like, you better do your research.
All right. So what about those who don't hold the position of senior pastor? So like the guy at the top, so to speak. What's your advice to them for how to avoid sabotaging the church?
I would tell them this: if God is leading you on, and many a times a staff member is going on, right? That he wants to be a senior pastor. He wants to, God can lead people on, and God doesn't have to lead people on through negativity. You can rejoice with people as they move forward. Now, when we move, sometimes our heart is also has to move. And as God is moving our heart, it's easy for us to now become critical at what we once loved. And I would say to a staff member, a deacon, somebody in a place of leadership that is no longer going to be at the church, as God is moving you, that is not the time for you to share your frustration with leadership. All of us have frustration. Any relationship that you have, let me say this, any relationship that is worth having comes with frustrations. And it's through frustrations that we grow. It's through conflict that we grow. Sometimes the conflict moves us on. I believe the only relationship that you have that you cannot move on past is your marriage. But church is not the same way. God can move you in and out of a church, and it's totally fine. You don't have to point out the negative as you move on. There's going to be negative. There's always going to be negative. But it can't be the negative that moves you on, and then you can't share the negative with the people that are staying and expect them to do something with it that you yourself couldn't do with it in a place of leadership.
Yeah, think about the phrase, moving parts always create friction. And it's natural to have that. And hopefully, you know, if you're not the person that's the senior pastor in this situation and you're, you know, an assistant or whatever, right? There would have been opportunities along the way if you were courageous enough to give specific feedback about the direction of the ministry, as opposed to taking pot shots behind their back on the way out the door.
In our experience here, we've had those who have been not senior pastor come in and out, and it's been amazing to watch how, as people do transition, there are those who have caused damage as they've walked out the door. And there are those who have not only not caused damage, they have caused huge, great benefit as they've left. In the most amazing way. So sometimes we think, well, I don't want to blow it up, so I won't blow it up. So my option is I won't cause any problems. I'll just be quiet, which is a great, better solution than, you know, a better option than blowing it up. But we've had certain team members, and some of them listening to this right now, that as they've walked out, they were huge blessings. They would sit down one-on-one with members of the staff and pour into them love and friendship and positivity. And I only find out about this afterward. Or they'll sit down and they'll encourage unity, and they'll pray over, and they'll sit with me and thank me for the opportunity, and say, Pastor, here are a few things I want you to know about this church and about the future, and just pour into. And
now, I don't want to speak out of turn, but you could tell me something if I'm wrong here. But I mean, we did an exit podcast with Blake Hunt before we left for New Jersey.
Great example.
And like, he had ideas specifically in his last, like, let's say 90 to 120 days here, that he was being very intentional, so he didn't leave you stranded. And then we record these podcasts in a batch. So in one single day, we're going to talk to him later about his first 100 days in ministry. So I think that's a great example for us here at Southern Hills, with somebody who's left right and not blown it up on the way out.
Yeah, he literally left us in a better position than when he was here. And the reason was because he, with intentionality, love, compassion, and very much grace as he spoke into it, said, I've got some ideas that if you would like to hear, these are some things that can help. So sometimes we think, well, I see a few negatives. I shouldn't spread it. No, you shouldn't. But if you served well and you have a good relationship and you did, and they value your opinion, you may be able to, into an exit interview, actually help that church see some things that can help them moving forward. But I'd be careful, like Paul told Timothy, don't rebuke, but entreat. See them as brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and share with intentionality and love, and you may leave that ministry in a better position than even while you were there.
Can I add this too as well? As a staff member, a pastor, a deacon, anyone in leadership, a church member even, take the time and give the time as you leave. Don't give a 2-week notice when you're leaving. This isn't a business. You, from a pastor that's listening to this and has a staff that's leaving, let your staff know, come to me. If this takes 6 months, I will give you 6 months. I will not fire you. Share your heart with me. Let's walk through this together. A staff member, you can blow a church up by leaving in a rush because we don't know how to communicate. My wife says this to me often. We live in a day and age where people just do not know how to communicate. Share your feelings. Be open with your feelings. Share what God is doing so that we can all rejoice together with what God is doing. And we can ensure as you go forward to the next ministry, it's a smooth transition and God can use you there. And the one you're leaving, God can continue to bless. There shouldn't have to be a hiccup when people leave ministry. It can be a smooth transition. And it will only be a smooth transition when we consider this. It is God's work, not mine. And I'm going to ultimately answer to the Lord for how I'm dealing with his work.
So let's talk about lay leadership, because it's not just pastors who walk out and God moves on. It's not just staff individuals who God moves on. Sometimes it's lay leadership, high-level, important, wonderful, godly individuals who have impacted the church tremendously that God moves on in their career and life.
This is getting really awkward.
Why is it getting awkward?
Because you're talking about me.
Are you ready to talk about this?
Sure.
On the podcast? It's fine. Tell, because you can talk about this now.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Tell them what's happening, Drew.
Hey, hey, Josh.
Hey, Drew, what?
I know Jeremy said I should give you more than 2 weeks, but...
What?
You know, my wife and I are probably not going to be here in a few weeks.
You know, I really appreciate you bringing this up for the very first time now.
Yeah.
In March, as this episode drops.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean you're not going to be here in a few weeks? Because we got to record more episodes live in the Las Vegas studio.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. What's happening in your life?
Hey, Christine, I accepted the role of owner operator of a Chick-fil-A in Phoenix.
This is awesome.
Thanks.
Except I'm really upset.
I know.
No, but this is something our audience is finding out. I know, but something we've talked about for, I don't know, years. It's kind of been a dream.
It has been years, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Talk about that journey and that dream.
Yeah, we won't unpack it all here, but, you know,
on another episode.
7 years journey has led up to now. Yeah. And so it's been a process for sure.
And both Heather and I are deeply angry. And
I get it.
But also really, really proud. And we're really excited for this.
Thanks. We'll miss you a lot.
We're going to miss you a lot.
Jeremy, this would get awkward. It's a little, you know, between us here, but it's fine.
Jeremy knows what it is to be in the middle of conversations among friends.
Yes, yes.
But you hold a position in your local congregation, not only as a deacon, yeah, but you serve as a trustee on the board. Mm-hmm. How is this conversation relevant for church members in those positions?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, a lot of the conversations happen with Fred and I, your executive pastor, and the fact of his desire, us really staying on to provide a voice of guidance, mm-hmm, even though I don't necessarily have a vote right now on some of the things that go on, which is completely fine, mm-hmm, for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I'm honored to do it. And I want to make sure that, you know, the title of this entire conversation is making sure I don't blow up anything on the way out,
yeah,
but be respectful in the exit. So.
Well, you have been, and we're grateful to God for that. And the podcast, by the way, might be wondering, the audience, what does that mean for the podcast? And we've got more to talk about in the months to come, and we're going to unpack this a little bit more. And in the meantime, the podcast is going nowhere. We're doing fine. You've got many, many episodes to come. You're not getting rid of us that easy, and you're not getting rid of Drew that easy, but we are excited as a podcast as we celebrate this next big milestone in Drew's life, as they're exiting not only from Southern Hills in Las Vegas, but entering into a new chapter in Chick-fil-A, as the churches in the Phoenix area begin to compete to have the most amazing family in their local congregation.
You're too kind.
I know I'm going to get emails. Where are they? Where are they in Phoenix?
Well, I would summarize it as he doesn't work on Sundays. He can still attend Southern Hills. It might be expensive to go from Phoenix to Vegas every weekend, but I don't see anything changing.
I don't see a problem.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because are you going to be working on Sunday?
I you know, some Sundays I probably will be working.
Reporting this to Chick-fil-A.
You should, yeah.
Because I know that that's breaking one of their core values.
It's true.
Well, we'll see you in Sunday church. It's a good point, Jeremy. You're right. He still can commute. It's only a 5.5-hour drive.
And he can afford a corporate plane now, too.
Yeah, that's right. Just buy yourself a plane. We could put ID Network on the side.
So you're saying you're sponsoring the plane?
No, I'm saying you're going to put it on there for free because you care about the ministries Network.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. You talked me into it.
So if you're here today listening to this podcast, you might be thinking, okay, what's the takeaway? The answer is put down the match, no matter who you are. Think through the statements that you're making. Ask yourself, do I really need to talk to that person? Is that really my position? Is God moving me to do this? Is my egotism and narcissism moving me to say that? We all ought to check our hearts, and we all ought to ask the question, am I being a Nicolaitan, right? Am I being the one who desires the rule of the people? Or is this God's church? And as I move on, do I trust that God knows what he's doing? As he brought in the last leadership, which included you, is he bringing in the right leadership now? And what's your future? Where does God have you next? What is your next role, either in that local church or in the next ministry God's leading you to? Because there is a great future and a hope for you, and God is not done using you either.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.